Welcome back to Figuring Out Fanfiction, now on the fourth episode of the season. Thanks so much for tuning in today. I wanted to give some fun updates as to what's going on, both in my fandom and my personal world. In personal news, I'm still navigating my internship where I'm working in healthcare, ramping up on some big projects, which has both been challenging and really fun. I'm really grateful for my team for the work that they've given me and how I've grown over these past couple of months. I'm also currently on a mission to try to meal prep more because I just kind of rely on microwavable food because it's easier. But my partner made me promise that I'd try to meal prep more often, so I'm trying it out. In more fandom-related news, my partner and I watched Trece some time ago together. And for those of you who might not know, Trece is a thriller supernatural comic series that became popular in the Philippines in the 2000s. And it's still popular today. Netflix recently adapted it into a show, and it turned out amazing. On the English version, or the English dub of the show, they really got big celebrities like Dante Bosco, who was in Avatar as Zuko, and Shay Mitchell, who is in Pretty Little Liars, to voice some of the characters. So I really recommend you checking that out. I realized that the hype was really well deserved, proving to me that Trece was more than deserving of its cult following in my home country. So I hope it catches on here in the US as well. And that leads me to my episode for today. Cult followings. They're overwhelming, surprisingly common, and yet can be terrifying when you're outside. They grace all parts of media, and fanfiction is not an exception. So I wanted to explore what it's like to be swept in the cult following of a fanfic. I'm really looking forward to see what you have to say about it, because I did look it up, and it's like not a new fanfic. I thought it would be kind of newer, but it was actually, I think, from 2018.
Yeah. It's from 2018, and it sort of made a resurgence. It definitely had a cult following before on my forums and like Tumblr, but definitely made a resurgence since TikTok.
Okay. Well, let's jump back a bit to the beginning. How did you first come across fan fiction?
Yeah, I feel like everyone's been reading fan fiction for a long time. Like, if you were into books in middle school, you were also into fan fiction, because especially if you had series that you're reading, like the Harry Potter series, for example, if you're waiting for the next book, you were always thirsty and like hungry to like read a little bit more about those characters, even if it's not from the author themselves. So I definitely like came across it, you know, looking for like different iterations of the same stories that I was reading. So A Series of Unfortunate Events and Harry Potter were two of the series that I was looking for, or, you know, TV shows like Grey's Anatomy that have fan fiction written about them. And it just really, like, I like the character studies and the more in-depth and nuanced takes on these characters, even from an outside perspective. So that's how I came across it in like middle and early high school.
And you're also a poet. I've read your work. I love your work. I've loved it for a long time. Did your passion for poetry and fan fiction ever intersect in some way?
I think so. I think in the same way that, you know, fiction works have impacted my poetry or my own fictional writing, I think fan fiction has also done the same for me, because in a way it's like exploring these characters and these stories through other people's like point of views that don't have to be like that can diverge from canon. And so that has been like a really big influence on my own writing, that like I don't necessarily need to create my own stories or my own universe, but I can take, you know, bits and pieces of what has inspired me about these like great romances that ordinary people write. You know, you don't have to be this you know, millionaire who is writing these like crazy books signed by these crazy publishers, but you can be just an everyday person and make like such a big impact on people's lives. And I think that has really like impacted how I think about writing, not necessarily the writing itself, but just that I don't need to be, I don't want to be J.K. Rowling, and I certainly don't need to be J.K. Rowling to write something that is impactful and meaningful.
You know what? That last piece that you've said, I feel like I've been hearing that in different versions from different guests, and it's really become true. You don't need to be J.K. Rowling to create something impactful, because right now I would argue that some fan fiction I've read has probably made more impact than some of J.K. Rowling's writing,
Oh,
if I'm being real.
definitely. Because if you go back and actually read the Harry Potter books, I mean, there are some parts of it that are it's good to read, it's fun to read, and to a certain degree, these are children's books, but the actual like story building itself that we collectively know as fans, we as a collective fan base did that. J.K. Rowling's world building is actually not that good. And so I think that's really interesting because that lives in our brains, right? Like we take bits and pieces of the fan fiction that we read, mix it into the movies that we watch, mix it into the original source material, and we create a world for ourselves, like in our own heads, which I think is like the beauty of fan fiction is that it helps fill in those gaps.
And I think that really goes to show that a work of fiction, or really a work of art, is kind of, yes, the creator is important, but it kind of can't survive without its admirers or its fans, especially.
No, I totally agree with that. I mean, that's like the same with pretty much any classic, right? Like any classic piece of literature. You obviously always have to contextualize in the time period that you're reading that book in or that, piece in, but it can also stand independently and it can also be what you want it to be in, whatever moment that you're in.
You mentioned that your interest in fan fiction made a comeback during the pandemic. How did that happen?
Yeah, so I think so. The pandemic happened. I mean, you and I are in the same graduating class, and so you know as well as I how much that sucked to graduate into a pandemic void. So that was, I think, really heartbreaking, like a really heartbreaking reality. That was, I had to move back home with my parents, and I had to leave university early, didn't get my graduation, et cetera, et cetera. I was like craving comfort. I was craving, these like fantasy worlds that I had built a long time ago in this very childhood bedroom. But like now as an adult, I know that I don't want to source anything from J.K. Rowling. I don't want to support like her monetary gain from any of it. So I sort of delved back into fan fiction when I saw it coming back up on TikTok. And I saw that, I was never really a part of like the Tumblr wave of cult following or really any of that. Tumblr never really like entranced me. So on TikTok, when I saw that there's so many people who have this like beautiful and nuanced and like original things to say about the series, I was like, wow, like that's pretty incredible. Like these people who I respect because they also think critically in the real world are applying that same framework to a series that I know and love and that I thought I had to abandon at some point because J.K. Rowling is a TERF and like I didn't want to support that. But this same series, Harry Potter and the childhood series that I grew up with, they did define me as a person. They did raise me and instill these values of justice and fighting for good over evil and like the allegory of the Death Eaters and the allegory that that represents, for better or for worse, like taught me that there is true evil in this world and my job is to fight it. That combined with my pandemic boredom, my pandemic nausea just about the world in general, kind of made me want to return to like this world where it's a little bit easier to see good versus evil. Of course, when I read All the Young Dudes, I was like it's not easy to see good versus evil in this fic, which is what makes it so good. Yeah, that's sort of like where I came back. I just like needed some comfort characters. I needed some comfort stories to hold on to.
Well, tell us a little bit about All the Young Dudes and how you came across it, and without maybe spoiling for anyone who's listening what it's about.
Yeah, for sure. So All the Young Dudes is a very long fic about the Marauders era. So it follows the story of Remus Lupin from the time that he was selected into Hogwarts to the end of, oh no, the beginning of Order of the Phoenix. it's a very it does cover a long time period, and it is very long, but and it's very intense, but it is so artfully written. I found it because I was one creator who I really respected because of her like in real life political values and her she's an abolitionist, and so I was like really thrilled to see that they're a good person and they also really like this fic, and I was like, I have to read it. I started reading it thinking it was just a regular fic, and it was not. I like read it over the course of a month, and it was just so like entangled with like these themes of like justice, but also like morality being very like gray and just social justice like woven through it, which is why the original creator who had recommended it to me, I believe their username is Sarah E. Phillips on TikTok. They're a pretty big creator now, which is why I believe that they recommended it to me because and why they love it so much is because it like is very intricately interwoven with and is an allegory for like real life. So essentially it follows Remus Lupin, who we know is a werewolf and who has been afflicted with being a werewolf for his entire life. And so it is a unique lens of disability through which we can analyze and interact with the wizarding world and with Sirius's relationships, like grief and trauma and all of that. And that really lends itself to filling these holes that J.K. Rowling left. Everyone in Harry Potter is an able-bodied, like cishet, like canonically cishet person, where J.K. Rowling failed to really create diversity and to really create like a critical look at what the wizarding world was like for someone like Remus Lupin, who, for all intents and purposes, exiled. Like he is not really supposed to be a part of the wizarding world, and really just got lucky, in a lot of ways, being friends with the Marauders. And I think it really fills in those gaps. And honestly, a lot of people think of it as canon, as they think of it as their canon, because it makes so much more sense than the backstory that J.K. Rowling has given us about Remus, because it is a Wolfstar fic, so it is, Remus and Sirius are endgame, and that's not really a spoiler because
It
it
is. No,
says,
this is the correct conclusion, in my opinion, as well.
well, right, and I mean, it also says in the beginning that it is a Wolfstar fic. While like Wolfstar is like the core tenet of the really or of the fic, there are other queer relationships in it, and it like creates a lot of like fluid, like you can interpret it in a lot of different ways, I think, and that's what makes it so beautiful, is that like you can really actually see yourself in it no matter who you are. That's what makes it magical, because like I don't can you really believe that in all of Hogwarts there's not one gay kid? Like that's like
Yes.
you have to like there has to be one queer kid at least, and not Dumbledore after he died coming out.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, that was part of my realization as I grew up, being such a big fan of the Harry Potter books, and then afterwards just being exposed to the LGBTQ community and becoming close to that and coming to terms with parts of my own identity. And then it really hit me. I'm like, you really expect, I mean, for one, anyone who has gone through high school at this point, and if you haven't met someone who's part of the queer community, I'd honest to God be surprised. And that same logic applies to something like Hogwarts.
The fact that she had to like make Dumbledore gay after he died, after the series is over, is just a slap in the face. I mean, like, this has been talked to death about for years, right? But like, that's why All the Young Dudes is so interesting, because I will also say that it takes a very critical look at the war, the first Wizarding War. When you think about it, I mean, they were kids. The Marauders were children when they were fighting. They were like 20 and 21. When you see their experiences through the lens of Remus, who is at the beginning of the book an orphan, and he is like gain you see him, starting to trust people. You see him starting to interact with people who see him as family. Then you start to see him open up to love and things like that. And it's like it's a parallel to Harry in a different way, because Harry still didn't have to deal with the disability that Remus does. That is the material we should have started with. It is the story that we deserve.
That's my thing with fan fiction. I mean, okay, so to anyone who's listening, I'm going to just read out some of the stats that All the Young Dudes has. It has 188 chapters, 16,000 comments, 49,000 kudos, which is so this is on an archive of our own, the website, and kudos is the version of like liking or heart reacting to a fanfic. So it has 16,000 kudos. No, I'm just kidding. 16,000 comments, 49,000 kudos, and 10,000 bookmarks from different users. I can't even begin to fathom the impact this must have had on the Harry Potter, even though like this is still probably, in contrast of everything, a small part of the Harry Potter fandom, but it's still such a significant amount.
Yeah, I mean, it's crazy because it really is a sub fandom of a sub fandom, right? Because like there is the Marauders fandom, and then there's all the young dudes within the Marauders fandom. And you know, all the young dudes doesn't have to be everyone's canon, right? Like it is mine, but it doesn't have to be everyone's, and that's totally fine. And I think sometimes there are some problems with like all the young dudes stans being like, this is canon and no one else can believe anything else, because it is so like, it is like really the first time that a lot of queer people have felt seen. At the same time, like you have to recognize that like it is also okay to have other ships. It is also okay to have, you know, thoughts and interpretations and whatever else that you have about all the young dudes, because you know, you have to critically engage with the media that you consume. It is okay also to not partake and think that this is not canon.
Like you, I came really across this fanfic over TikTok on the hashtag. Specifically, I remember the first, I think you had mentioned it to me at some point, but it really didn't hit me how big of the fan base for this fic was until I saw a TikTok of this girl who actually had the chapters printed and bound into a book so she wouldn't have to keep reading the web version online. She could just take the books with her and she could just read it whenever she wanted, which is so, I can't even like begin to fathom that if a fanfic meant that much to a person. I just wanted to ask you what your thoughts are. What do you think, the act of that and the almost cult following this has with all the young dudes, what do you think that says about fanfiction in general?
I think it says that people can really be brought together over these stories, right? Because they see themselves in it. The like biggest thing about like representation and making forcing a space for yourself in these stories, and being able to see yourself in these stories, right? Because like the cult following is really because it is a, you know, at heart, a queer story about a kid with a disability. That is not something that you come across very often now. I mean, sure, there's more queer stories, and not always in the best ways, right? Like a lot of queer stories get fetishized, or they are, what the fic does really well is none of that. Like it is not explicit, so it does not have underage explicit content. It is not solely focused on the relationship between Remus and Sirius, even though that's a big part of it. Explores, you know, other people's relationships through the eyes of Remus, which makes you see the flaws in them that you otherwise might not have seen. I mean, everyone loves Sirius, but you see a lot of flaws in Sirius that you see through Remus's eyes and all the young dudes. And what it does so well is mimic real life as much as it can within the realm of a magical universe. And I think that's what brings people together about it, is because there's so much to talk about with it's like what, like near 200 chapters, and there's so much to talk about, and there are so many characters, even side characters, even tiny minor characters that you can make entire arcs out of. And so there's so much like variety and diversity, and it does something that like no other book in the Harry Potter series or in the Harry Potter universe has done for us, which is really critically engage with the trials and tribulations that the majority of us in the fan base actually struggle with.
You mentioned that, there is really a large community surrounding this fic, and there are sometimes even some arguments about it. But I'd like to hear more about the All the Young Dudes fan base in general. What can you tell us about it? How would you describe them?
Yeah, I would say a lot of them are very like social justice oriented, very sad. I think you have to be a little bit sad to obsess over Wolfstar,
Right.
because it does not end well. I think the fandom is like really hell-bent on doing what's right, trying to see that path all of the time. But the irony is that what they should learn from all the young dudes is that morality is very gray. It is not black and white, and I think that that's something that like a lot of people in the social justice fan, not fan base, but in the social justice realm, who also overlap with these like multiple fan bases, can get a little wrong sometimes. Is that it is not easy to be a good person. It is not easy to engage critically with your own privilege and your own power and your own positionality. And so the arguments can be very, very personal sometimes because people are projecting so much onto these characters, onto the story that means so much to them. For example, there was an argument a few months ago where it was pointed out correctly that Sirius engaged in ableism. When something becomes your comfort story, it can be really difficult to address those things. And that's why the arguments get so volatile and toxic.
What I've also taken away from what you're saying is that people, I think, really, well, for one, many people tend to put real life people on a pedestal, but also fictional characters. I will admit, I have had my own struggles with that in the past until I grew up and I said that that character is actually very problematic in their own ways. To have, I think, a fanfic that, as you said, really critically engages in those conversations and questions. Is this good? Is this bad? Are we really idolizing a character too much? I think is also reflective of what we see in real life people in general, especially with stan culture, I would think.
Oh, definitely. Definitely. And like another big problem with, using a platform like TikTok, and maybe to an extent this was true of Tumblr as well, is that it is very, very easy to get stans. It's very, very easy to get people who say, I'm not going to form an opinion until X creator forms an opinion. And then once they do, side with that creator, and it turns into drama rather than a productive conversation about literature or whatever the issue is. Also, a lot of the people who are now consuming all the young dudes are younger. They're teenagers, mostly teenage girls, mostly. So what you end up getting is this like blind hero worship of characters who, for Miss King being 89, the author, for all her work, tried to show that it was flawed, but like teenage girls are going to take what teenage girls are going to take out of these characters,
Right.
which is, they're going to fawn over them, they're going to love them, which there's nothing wrong with that. That's literally just part of being a teenage girl. But like, once you have those kids debating with adults, that's when you get a little bit into that like tricky mess because you can't hold kids accountable for the actions that you can for adults. So adults have to be a little bit, we just need to be careful because it's on us. And so being in this kind of like multi-generation fandom, plus being on Marauders TikTok, plus being on all the young dudes TikTok, where justice and doing the right thing is a huge theme, then you get the social justice oriented drama. And so it's a whole thing. Yeah, it turns into a mess.
Lisa, it has been fantastic to have you. I really did enjoy being able to talk to you a little bit again. For people who was listening, we actually also became in touch again because about a year ago she moved to Chapel Hill very briefly, and I live within the area, and so we got to meet up a couple of times, and it was really cool.
Yeah, that was great. I wish I was there longer, if only to hang out with you more.
Well, I will probably at some point have to be in Ohio, I would
It
imagine. So if I am, well, Columbus seems like a cool city. So if I
is.
ever end up there, I will let you know.
Great.
If people want to reach out to talk about fan fiction, all the young dudes, if they want to talk about policy, where can they reach you?
Yeah, you can find me on TikTok at Concrete Corn.
Yeah, I meant to ask you, why concrete corn?
It's a reference to the concrete corn field in Columbus.
Ah,
Yeah.
okay. Honestly, when I saw your username, I was like, I don't know, maybe she just likes corn a lot, you know,
I
that kind of thing.
like
Okay.
country and I like corn.
Thank you so much for coming on today, and I really appreciate having you come on to talk about something you're really passionate about, and maybe you have convinced me to actually start reading this.
Yeah, it would be great for you to read it for sure. You would love it.
Lalitha's words shed light on parts of a cult following that people often forget, and that's the waves of arguments that fans can get into. I mean, how many times have I seen a Twitter fight get out between two fans of anything, of K-pop, for example, off the top of my head, even if they both really love a specific artist? My other big takeaway is that cult followings don't just die out, they can come back in waves. All the Young Dudes as a fanfic may have been published in 2018, and now it's making the rounds back again in 2021 on TikTok. So some things never truly die down in terms of its popularity, and people find new reasons to appreciate a certain fanfic that they might love. So season two, I wanted to say, is slowly wrapping up now as I head into my final episode in about a week. I also wanted to let you know that rather than posting episodes in season sets, I'll be posting episodes depending on when I have time for one. So this isn't the official end to this podcast. It'll just be a little different as I navigate my second year of my master's program and figure out how to get into the job market. I'm also going to be plugging myself. If anyone wants to hire a UX researcher and designer, I am really good at what I do, and you should check my portfolio out on leonzareas.com. Okay, now to the final comments. If you want to talk about a cult following to a fandom or a fanfic that you like, or just have general questions or comments, you can reach me out on figuringoutfanfiction@gmail.com or DM me on Instagram on @figuringoutfanfiction. Otherwise, tune in next week for my final thoughts. Thanks for listening in today.